Okay, first order of business is rebound if necessary, utilizing 1 John 1:9. Clear the decks mentally, and we'll get started. I'll open in prayer after that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the completed canon of Scripture, the playbook for the church age. What a privilege we have to study it. We pray, Father, that we would be able to concentrate on what we are about to study today, and then that we would use it in our lives every day. It's in the name of your Son, our Savior, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Okay, I've got two quick letters to read you to keep with the tradition. This one, it says, Dear Philippi Ministries, thank you for another great lesson and your unfailing commitment to service and evangelism. Though there are continuous trials, God's grace and blessings abound, and I thank God's word interpreted through God-given pastors and brought by his evangelists for filling this sinner's heart with his grace, righteousness, and light. May God continue to guide and direct your ministry. All the best through God's unfailing grace and love by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. This individual, I think I've told you, every year in December, if you want to get Joe's class notes, we send you a note along with a self-addressed stamped envelope, and you have to reply, do you want to continue to get the notes? We don't do that on the course, because if you send the books back with the answer sheet, you know that they're going to continue doing it. But we want them to use their volition every year. This gentleman, if by the way, if you don't send it back, that's a no. If you use the envelope for something else and don't mail it back, that's fine, but you're not getting any more notes till you let us know. This gentleman wrote, yes, he's been studying with us 8 years. Interesting enough, he was released 2 weeks ago, and he's already returned his first course since he's been out. He's going to do great. But here's what he wrote. Dear Gary, I started out with the attackers, and then to vicarious sacrifice, then to was Jesus the Messiah, and now the study of the book of James. I'm studying with Salazar, that's another prisoner that's been studying with us about 8 years, on both the basic books of Vicarious Sacrifice from Pastor Griffin and the books from Colonel R.B. Thiem Jr. When we finish, we start over to include any new material you have sent. Please continue with the notes. Thank you very much. And then on the back he wrote, I did not write to you about what I was getting because I see you and your ministry as a grace gift. It is because of your ministry and the books you sent that keeps my focus on the things above, not on earthly things. My prayers are with you, your family, staff, Grace Doctrine Church members, Pastor Griffin and his family, and his staff. Jesus Christ controls history, no matter how dark it is in our country. Bible doctrine is the light that makes all the darkness go away. My hope and confidence is in the future, phase 3. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. He quoted that verse at the end. He's going to do fine. He's going to be one of those that's going to make it. Lastly, it was an email I got yesterday from Chaplain Kathy at the Colorado Department of Corrections. Greetings, Gary. I wanted to thank you for the book you sent Dak. That's an inmate who's been studying with us. Things change all the time at prisons, and they quit giving him his books. So he went to the chaplain. The chaplain sent us an email. So I forwarded it to her, and she goes on to say, I have a visit with him today, and I know he will be very excited to receive it. Thank you also for the posters, books, bookmarks. We are hanging the posters in the women's prisons and one at the men's prison. Your generosity is greatly appreciated, especially to forgotten people. You and your ministry continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus behind the walls. Enjoy this beautiful day. Blessings, Chaplain Kathy. So those are the updates for today. Wednesday night, I only have one to read, and that'll be it. Okay, we're going to do a quick review. We started Wednesday night with the question, have you ever thought about how many books, tapes, DVDs, MP3s that you've given out to folks that's never responded? Or how many individuals you have invited to Bible class who either never came or just attended once or twice? Why, have you ever thought about why we study the Bible the correct way instead of just a 20-minute feel-good sermon? Why our pastor, Joe Griffin, and others like him, R.B. Thiem or Bobby Thiem III, R.B. Thiem Jr., are one of the greatest evangelists ever. Rick Hughes, do it the correct way. Like I said Wednesday night, maybe you just never thought about it. In the introduction Wednesday night, we started with the gospel. And that was the greatest decision you could ever make by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior through faith alone and Christ alone. And we looked at several verses, but Acts 16:31a, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Simple, period, end of sentence, it's over. We look first then at positive volition as the first step for a new believer. And we looked at the definition of volition in R.B. Theme Jr.'s Bible Dictionary, page 286 under the heading volition. It refers to the ability of choice, determination, and voluntary decision-making that resides within the individual and serves as authority over him. Because the sovereignty of God and the free will of man coexist, every person has the freedom to express either positive or negative volition toward God, his plan, and his word. Positive volition is an active desire for a personal relationship with God, first in salvation through the expression of faith alone in Christ alone. That was the first step we covered Wednesday night. And then in the post-salvation willingness to learn God's word under the authority of a prepared pastor teacher. The positive believer grows in grace and knowledge of the Savior and advances to spiritual maturity and lives to glorify Christ. And then the colonel in his dictionary lists some verse there. We looked at this. We learned this in prep school. Volition. Good decisions, bad decisions. So we talked about that. We learned that positive volition gives the believer proper motivation in life and leads to the believer's spiritual growth and allows us to know the doctrines defining God's expectations and requirements for us in order to execute right actions in our life. These are not in your notes. They're in the notes from Wednesday night, and I just pulled out excerpts for today. So, if I can figure this out. We looked at this. We're not going to go through it all today because if you're here and you have positive volition, we only need to look at the green. The challenge is the gospel. You accept that you're saved with 40 things. Then church attendance. You're here, so you attend. Can you concentrate? Then doctrine that's being taught. Do you accept it as truth or do you reject it? And then if you accept it as truth, the doctrine retained, do you apply it in your life and to circumstances? If you have positive volition intake of Bible doctrine, is your number one priority and you develop a craving to be filled with the Word of God. The daily or consistent study of Bible doctrine takes precedence over everything else, and no one can learn Bible doctrine without the help of a pastor teacher. So we went there. Remember, this is just a quick review to get you back in the flow. The purpose of the gift of pastor teacher is to teach doctrine to the sheep, his congregation. So why? They can grow to maturity. The pastor teacher is delegated authority from God by this spiritual gift, and the pastor teacher does not earn or deserve it. We reviewed that the pastor teacher should be someone who is faithful in the verse-by-verse teaching of Bible doctrine, building line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little for us, there a little, and we build it up in our soul. We talked about it was the ICE teaching, eisegetics, categorical, exegetical. Just the way our pastor does it here. We covered that Wednesday night. Spiritual growth occurs in only one way. Growth through the perception, metabolization, and application of Bible doctrine. And then as we get ready to get into the meat of it, the pastor teacher shows his love by studying Bible doctrine to feed his sheep, not by other activities like counseling or visiting the sick. He's not a cruise director. His job is to teach spiritual, academic information to his congregation. I told you that pastor emphasizes his authority in communication, and teacher emphasizes his function. He is to study and teach, and study and teach. I gave you a principle. A pastor teacher either accommodates or he communicates. can't do both. And if he accommodates, he won't have any time to study to teach you. And remember, the pastor teacher can only take you as far as your positive volition. He can give you food, but he can't make you eat. He can give you knowledge, but he cannot give you wisdom. And then briefly, we went through establishing your priorities and organizing a routine. So studying Bible doctrine is the top priority every day. You set aside time for family, Bible doctrine, work, eating, school, sleeping, whatever. And finally, in our review, the believer's self-motivation will manifest itself as academic discipline under a pastor teacher teaching Bible doctrine in the local church. So what is this Bible doctrine we should be studying? Why is the way we study it the correct way instead of a 20-minute feel-good sermon? Well, I hope to answer that question today. So let's first look at a definition, a couple of them, of Bible doctrine. Definition: Bible doctrine is God's plan revealed in writing. It is all scripture recorded in the divinely accepted canon. By vocabulary definition, doctrine is that which is taught as well as the act of teaching. In R.B. Thieme Jr.'s Bible Doctrine Dictionary, page 24, under the heading of Bible doctrine, it says the entire realm of God's truth presented in nomenclature, categories, concepts, and principles that define God, man, sin, salvation, the angelic conflict, the spiritual life, and eschatology. And our pastors taught us this. It's really just looking at the 10 major categories of theology, systematic theology by Schaeffer. There's 11. Our pastor, so I go along with him, combines angelology and Satanology. What we just defined there is right there, the 10 major divisions of systematic theology. Doctrine is drawn from the content of the completed canon of Scripture, Old and New Testaments, and is the sum total of the divine viewpoint of life. Now we got to have some vocabulary support. So we're first going to look at Hebrew words. The first one is going to be laka. Okay, the definition is something mentally received, instruction, learning, teaching, something both taught and learned. So we're going to have a reference verse for each one of them. Isaiah 29:24, and I'm going to put it up on the board for you. We're going to look at this one both in the New American Standard and in the King James Version. Those who err in mind will know the truth, and those who criticize will accept instruction. That's our word, instruction, is laka. And then under the King James Version, they also that err in spirit shall come to understand, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. So when people say, I don't know that in Scripture, yes, it is. Our next Hebrew word is going to be musar, and it means exhortation, our instruction. And our reference verse is going to be Proverbs 1:2. To know wisdom and instruction, that's our word musar, to discern the sayings of understanding. So just to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. Our last one is going to be shema'a. An announcement or something heard is the definition. An announcement or something heard. So we got our verse. We'll put it up here on the screen. Isaiah 28:9a. To whom would he teach knowledge? And to whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Bible doctrine. And you can also see the words testimony, law, and commands in the Hebrew. Now let's take a look at some Greek vocabulary. Our first one's going to be the Greek word didakte, which is the act of teaching, what is taught. And this stresses the authority of the Word of God and the teacher. So our reference is going to be Titus 1:9. Holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, didache, which is the active teaching. The pastor teacher must be faithful to teaching Bible doctrine so that he will be able both to exhort, parakaleo, to exhort or encourage in sound doctrine, didaskalia, which is going to be another one of our words, which is learning, teaching doctrine, and to refute those who contradict. So without the commentary, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. Our next word is didaskalia. It means the act of teaching, what is taught, and it stresses the act of teaching, standing here in the pulpit and teaching. In Timothy and Titus, the instruction books for the pastor, didache is used twice, while didaskalia is used 15 times. So our reference verse is going to be Colossians 2:22, which all refer to things destined to perish with us, in accordance with the commandments and the teaching, didaskalia, teaching doctrine, that which is taught, instruction, so which all refer to things destined to perish with us in accordance with the commandments and teachings of doctrine of men. Our last word is going to be didasko. It means to give instruction or things taught. It stresses the public teaching of doctrine. Again, what our pastor does, he's public, stands here. Anybody's welcome to come through the swinging doors. Our reference verse, it's going to be 1 Corinthians 4:17. Now, Paul's writing this, "For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach the didasko, which is to hold discourse with others in order to instruct them, to teach them doctrine. So for this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in the church." So we're going to take a look at grace didactics from the didasko word group. So what does didactics mean? Systematic instruction containing doctrines, precepts, principles, or rules intended to instruct. Trying to get across to you that we're doing this right. Joe doesn't stand here and give you something to feel good about for 20 minutes. He's teaching you as the Bible commands us to do, to study, to learn, to grow. It's clear it says that. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Learn of me in Matthew. Our first word is didasko. It's a verb. It means to instruct or to teach. 95 times it's found in the New Testament. Didaskatos, it's an adjective. It means skilled in teaching. Twice in the New Testament. Didaktos, adjective, taught or instructed. Twice in the New Testament. Didaskalia, one of the words we used. It's a noun, that which is taught. 20 times in the New Testament. Didaskalos, it's a noun. It's for teacher or instructor. 58 times in the New Testament. And didacte, a noun, the act of teaching or the act of instruction. 30 times in the New Testament. For a total of 207 times in the New Testament. You don't think the way we're doing it's right? Why would God put 207 times in the mind of Christ? Teach, study, learn, grow. So, Bible doctrine is the content of the Bible communicated by teaching and instruction. It is the communication of Bible subjects based on the exegetical analysis from the original languages, including the context, analysis, classification of subjects, and teaching. Just what our pastor does here at Grace Doctrine Church. While grace is the genius plan of God to bless us, and the integrity of God is the character of God, doctrine is the manifestation and explanation of that genius. We need our pastor to dig into the scriptures, exegete it, so he can teach us what this all means, and then you're able to apply it in your life later on. It's an explanation of the genius of the mind of Christ. Bible doctrine is the written, permanent expression of God's integrity to the human race. It is a verbalization of divine justice and is the study of the attributes of God. We teach that here in our prep school. Right there they are, all 10 of them. Sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life. And then you got the omnis, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotence, immutability, and veracity. We teach that back there in the prep school. It is the verbalization of divine justice and is the study of the attributes of God. How many of your friends that go, let's call it to a different church, can tell you the attributes of God? I can tell you this, I've asked a few and it's like, what? Psalm 33:4, for the Lord's divine decree is based on his integrity. Everything he does expresses his faithfulness. So Bible doctrine is the thinking of God in terms of relationship to the human race. Nothing is more important than knowing what God thinks, understanding how God operates, and understanding the basis for all these things through his integrity. So you have 66 books, 40 plus writers, written over in three continents, over 2,000 years. Right here, and the average believer doesn't know anything about it. And this is the playbook. It's the mind of Christ. So you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a believer, you're on the team, you get a uniform. And then as Rick Hughes told me when he played football, you got a playbook. If you don't know the playbook, no matter how talented you are, you don't play. You sit on the bench. So we get a playbook, and you don't know it, and you never become a person God can use. You're on the team. You got a uniform. You're going to go to heaven. You're going to be happy. But you're missing out on the whole spiritual life. You got to learn the plays. Then God can use you. He uses prepared people. The Word of God contains all that we need to know about God, about life, about what He expects of us, about who we are, about the future, about the spiritual life, everything that we need to know as believers in Jesus Christ, and then some. And listen, there's no way you're ever going to know it all, but you can know some of it. And what a privilege that we have an opportunity to study the mind of Christ. Bible doctrine is the basis for all true worship. I will worship, lie prostrate toward your holy temple. I am caused to give thanks from doctrine resident in my soul for your reputation because of your unfailing love and truth. You have magnified, promoted, and exalted your word above your reputation. Worshiping the Lord is not saying a hollow phrase, but it's thinking Bible doctrine. And the only way you can apply Bible doctrine is to put it first in your life. Get it in your soul by studying under a qualified pastor. And listen, it's not a hollow phrase like, give it all to Jesus. What does that even mean? You know, and I grew up in a mainline denomination church where you had to rededicate your life. What does that mean? I've never found anybody that could answer that. And oh, by the way, when I was a kid, I saw everybody rededicate their life, and they were doing the same thing as soon as the doors were open. And as a kid, you see that stuff, and you think, wow. That didn't work long. Doctrine existed before time. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. forever. The Father is called the God of doctrine in Psalm 31:5. And Jesus is called God of doctrine in Deuteronomy 32:4. Here's one for you. God values doctrine equal to his name, Psalm 138:2. And there it's above all name, thy name, together with thy name. In Psalm 138:2. Bible doctrine is for all ages. Deuteronomy 6:7, children. Titus 2:2-3, older men and women. 1 John 2:12-14, little children, fathers, young men. And doctrine is a true miracle of history. Luke 11:27-28. Here's one. Doctrine is the only source of spiritual information since it is the mind of Christ. I know people sell a lot of books out there, and they think they're getting a lot of spiritual information. Bible doctrine is the only source of spiritual information. It is the mind of Christ. It's the playbook for the Christian in this dispensation. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known gnosko, to learn or to know, the mind, the nous of the Lord, kurios, Jesus Christ. The thinking of Jesus Christ is Bible doctrine, that he, any given person, will instruct him. But we, Paul and his traveling seminary, have echo to have and to hold the mind of Christ. These pastor teachers knew Bible doctrine and were ready to teach it. So for who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Bible doctrine must be more real than empirical knowledge. 2 Peter 1:12-21. If there is a conflict between what you see in life and Bible doctrine is always right. Doctrine is more real than anything else in your life if you're a mature believer. The plan of God is advanced and vindicated through Bible doctrine. Isaiah 53:10 and Romans 3:4. Bible doctrine versus human doctrine is the challenge for the human race in the angelic conflict. And you can see that in Psalm 119:99-100. But let's look at Bible doctrine. Isaiah 48, we'll use that as a reference. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Human doctrine, lots of verses you can look up. But let's look at Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. If people want to boast, they should boast about this. They should boast that they understand and know me. How can you understand him if you never get to Bible class? They should boast that they understand and know me. They should boast that they know and understand that I, the Lord, act out of faithfulness, fairness, and justice in the earth, and that I desire people to do these things, says the Lord. Okay, there's people in churches all over St. Louis today, all over the city, all over the state, all over this country. And they know God through Jesus Christ because they've accepted him as their Savior. But they don't understand the God they know. I contend the folks who come to churches like ours, they understand the God they know. Doctrine is the complete revelation of God's plan for believers. Told you before, it's all right here in our playbook. How do we know that? Well, let's look at canon, the Greek word canon. It means a reed in Egypt used as an absolute standard of measurement. Absolute. Okay? So let's look at another one. Toxis. A norm, a standard of fixed order. Fixed. Aletheia. Our pastors taught that word to us many times. Bona fide, genuine, factual, truth, valid, true to fact, aletheia, boule in the Greek, counsel or advice. Emeth in the Hebrew, faithfulness, true, truth. These words confirm that Bible doctrine is the complete and accurate canon of Scripture. It is everything we need for life and godliness. Doctrine is perfect and absolute. Just what we looked at in these words above. Psalm 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times. Doctrine is related to all three members of the Trinity. I'm building a case here. I hope you can see it clearly. God the Father, it's related to him in Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit of both joints and marrows, and able to judge the intent of the heart. God the Son in 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. It's related to God the Holy Spirit in 2 Peter 1:21 and 2 Timothy 3:16. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Let's look at some identification of Bible doctrine under biblical synonyms. Everybody knows what a synonym is? Here, it's a word or phrase that means exactly or nearly the same as another word or phrase in the same language. Means exactly, nearly the same. So we're going to look at some synonyms for Bible doctrine in Scripture. Truth, John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. The Spirit of truth. Promises, 2 Peter 1:4. By these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Magnificent promises. Over 7,000 in the Bible, by the way. Canon. That was a word we looked at just a minute ago. And those who will walk by this rule, canon, that's our word, peace and mercy be upon them and upon Israel of God. Okay, I'm not going to read every verse. You got to have some homework. So I'm not going to put one for everything, okay? Next synonym is perfect gift in James 1:17. How about the law of liberty in James 2:12? Treasure in Colossians 2:3. Hidden treasure in Proverbs 2:4. Law of the Lord, Psalm 19:7. Stimulant in Philippians 2:1. Things superior, Philippians 1:10. Word or the word of life in Philippians 2:16. That which is complete, 1 Corinthians 13:10. And I almost stopped right there. I thought, nah, this is too good. Good of intrinsic value, Romans 12:21. Riches, Colossians 1:27. Law, the word instruction in Psalm 119:85. Statutes, describes categories of doctrine, Psalm 119:80. Judgment, Psalm 119:7. Collective categories of doctrine. Commandments are orders, instruction, commands. In Psalm 119:10, 1 Peter 2:21, and 2 Peter 3:2. Testimony, declared purpose in Psalm 119:24. Ordinances, illegal, Ezekiel 11:20. Precepts, Psalm 119:15. Ruling power in Colossians 1:4 or Ephesians 6:10. Knowledge in 2 Peter 16 times, just in 2 Peter. Wisdom, Colossians 2:3 and Ephesians 3:10. Pure in Psalm 119:140. Foundation, Hebrews 3:14. The appearance of the grace of God, Titus 2:11. valuable and magnificent promises. 2 Peter 1:4, we just read that. Valuable and beneficial word, Hebrews 6:5. Quality word of righteousness, Hebrews 5:13. A standard of accuracy, 2 Timothy 1:13. A lot of words used for Bible doctrine in the Bible. Remember, these are all synonyms. Probably glad I'm done with that part. A lot of synonyms for Bible doctrine. Here's one: doctrine will exist forever, and its power reveals the only path to salvation. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, the logos, the sayings of God, Bible doctrine, will not pass away. 1 Peter 1:23 to 25. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word, logos, of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word logos of the Lord, kurios, Jesus Christ, endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. What was preached to you? Bible doctrine. And I'm going to do John 16. Why? I just said it reveals the only path to salvation. And I just took it out of the NASB. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's that simple. He who has the Son has life, and who has not has the Son has not life, but the wrath of God abides on him already. Doctrine is always available to anyone who wants it. Anybody. It's out there. We talked about it Wednesday night. You'll find or be led to your pastor teacher if you want to grow in grace. A lot of verses, but you can see the rejection of Bible doctrine and doctrine removed in Isaiah 29, 9 through 14. I put that in there. I thought you might want to look at it because we need to watch out, America. It can be removed. Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Doctrine was designed as the basis of life for every member of the human race. John 6, 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Doctrine is the only food the believer's soul needs for spiritual production. Jeremiah 15, 16. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Now, this is going to take away excuses from people. The believer has no legitimate excuse for not learning Bible doctrine. There's a lot of verses there for you to look up later. But let's look at John 7, 16 and 17. So Jesus answered them and said, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself. It's a sin not to know doctrine. Romans 14, 23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, but his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. We are commanded to learn Bible doctrine. John 8, 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed, we know pistuo, believed in Lord Jesus Christ, if, third class condition, maybe you will and maybe you won't, continue in my word, that's a believer who has positive volition, learns Bible doctrine, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, aletheia, what is true, the matter under consideration, and the truth, aletheia, will make you free. Free from what? Free from the thinking of the cosmic system. Well, we live in this world, but we're not of this world. This is not our home. We're just passing through. And John 17, 16 is a great verse for that. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free, and the truth in your soul allows you to be free from the issues in the devil's world and cosmic thinking. Okay, we're going to hit some factors necessary for learning Bible doctrine. The believer must have positive volition toward the Word of God and realization of the importance of Bible doctrine resident in his soul. You got to understand how important it is. And this comes through some exposure to teaching, through adversity. That helps you know how important Bible doctrine is. Comes through divine discipline. Comes in many ways. But you can't know the importance if you don't have it. And if you have it and you apply it, you have the courage to apply it, then you start to realize how valuable all this is. The expression of positive volition in regular and consistent attendance at the local church where doctrine is taught. And this involves positive identification of your right pastor. Listen, I'm just coming at this from a different angle from Wednesday night. The filling of the Spirit, which is provided in grace through the rebound technique. We looked at that Wednesday. Objectivity with regard to personality, grooming, public speaking, and the character of the pastor. Listen, Joe can stand up here and captivate an audience. I'm trying to come up with something I can do to wake you all up. So I'm looking for that angle because you just got this old gray-haired guy up here plugging away. The filling of the Spirit, which is provided in grace through the rebound technique. Objectivity with regard to personality, grooming, public speaking, and the character of the pastor. Listen, it's not the man, it's the message. Objectivity with regard to the content of the pastor's message. The content may seem irrelevant for the moment. He's teaching what the Holy Spirit led him to teach. So somebody needed to hear it. So you just got to have patience. The content may be critical of your personality, or you of you personally, and even intrude upon your present lifestyle. Doctrine steps on your toes. Truth either convicts or enrages. The content may not be euphemistic enough for you. Therefore, you don't think it's spiritual. You associate spirituality with euphemisms, and therefore you are personally offended. Or the content may have no personal interest for you at the moment. A lot of folks just want to come and hear about prophecy. When's the rapture coming? It takes a lot to stand here and take in boring Bible classes. All of these must be approached with objectivity, and you must concentrate on these. It's all Bible doctrine, all weaves together like a tapestry. And this requires some measure of growth and humility. Even when the pastor is dogmatic and doctrine steps on your toes, you have to be objective, stay in fellowship, and continue on. It's not him, it's the Word of God. And I told you the other night, Wednesday, humility is the strength of the soul. And without humility, you can't be teachable. I don't care if it's in grammar school, high school, college, or here in this Bible class, or on the job. You've got to have humility to be teachable. The believer must have patience in hearing doctrine he does not understand. Stay the course. Stick with it. Never, ever quit. The believer must have privacy in public assembly of the local church, and he must give privacy to other members of the royal family of God. This is application of the principle live and let live. Therefore, the believer must avoid gossip, maligning, critical attitude toward other believers. You got to use impersonal love for all mankind. Problem-solving device number 8, and exercise the royal law that our pastor has taught us over and over and over again. 8, the believers must have good manners, which in effect is thoughtfulness toward others in the congregation. The believer must not create a disturbance through body movement, must not talk and discuss while the pastor is teaching. But if they do and they upset you, what do? You apply the royal law. Joe said it over and over. We're not all at the same level of spiritual growth at the same time. Just exercise in personal love and move on. Believers must exercise maximum self-discipline by concentration on the message. You got to concentrate. Doctrine is to be the believer's life is the next point. Proverbs 4:13. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, doctrine, for she is your life. Doctrine must be taught consistently over a period of time by a qualified pastor teacher so the positive volition believer can grow to spiritual maturity. 1 Timothy 4:16. Pay close attention to yourself, Timothy's personal spiritual growth, and to your teaching, didaskalia, our word again, that which is taught, Bible doctrine. Persevere, epimino, to stay with, stay after it, don't quit in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation, so to deliver the baby believer to spiritual maturity. That's the goal, both for yourself and for those who hear you. Timothy will also grow. So pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear. And we have an Old Testament passage here, Ecclesiastes 12:9. In addition to being a wise man, the preacher Solomon Koheleth also taught the people Bible doctrine, and he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. I'm going to read you this first quote, then we'll have halftime, and then when we come back, we'll pick up where we left off. But the first quote I'm going to give you before the break is a quote from the Nomen of the New Testament published in 1742 by Johann Albrecht Bingel, the father of the science of textual criticism. He was a theologian and he was a linguist. And he wrote, "Scripture is the life of the church. The church is the guardian of the scripture. When the church is strong, scripture shines abroad. When the church is sick, scripture is imprisoned." Well, you think about how many doctrinal churches are out there teaching scripture. Kind of imprisoned in our country. When the church is sick, scripture is in prison. Thus, scripture and the church exhibit together the appearance of health or else sickness, so that the treatment of scripture corresponds with the state of the church. I don't read ahead because there's going to be a treat in halftime. Does the lack of attendance at doctrinal churches bother you? What about the lack of qualified pastor teachers coming up? Does that bother you? What is the health of Christendom today and the health of those who have an interest in Bible doctrine? And we're going to pick that up at a quarter till the hour. So everybody get a break and get a cup of coffee, and we're going to hit it hard till the end. Okay? See you in 15 minutes.